And today, this will be the last lesson in Mark chapter 1, and I'm teaching this, the Gospel of Mark, with the theme of living to serve. The Gospel of Mark is the Gospel that shows us Jesus as the suffering servant, and we're going to look at his life, his ministry, his desire to lay down his life as a ransom for many. For the Son of Man has come. For the Son of Man came, not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Many people think that's the key verse of the Gospel of Mark, and it is definitely a verse that we can hinge on understanding Christ's ministry of serving. And so, and since we are to be like Christ after our salvation, we also are called to a place of service in the Christian life. And so that can vary in many degrees and in level of commitment, but the fact of the matter is God has placed a call in all of our lives to serve him with gladness for the rest of our earthly days. Isn't that right, saints?
Yes.
Good to have some guests here with us this morning, and just good to see some faces I haven't seen for a while back in church, and so what a blessing that is this morning.
We're going to be yours too, Minister.
Oh, okay, good. Yeah, well, I'm here every Sunday, so okay. Anyway. Amen. We're going to be in Mark chapter 1 and look at verses 40 through 45 this morning. Mark in chapter 1, verses 40 through 45. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and said unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And he straightly charged him, and forthwith sent him away, and saith unto him, See thou, say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. In verse 45, but he went out and began to publish it much and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. And all God's people said, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together again this morning, and just pray you'd speak to us from your word. Help us, Lord. We need to be encouraged this morning, and we need to be challenged by the word of God. We need your spirit to meet with us, to give us that beautiful gift of illumination that will make the word of God come alive to each and every soul who's chosen to assemble here this morning. And Lord, with that illumination, that we would be mindful to apply these truths to our own walk with you. And Father, we do pray this morning, if there be someone here today who has never trusted Christ to be their own personal Lord and Savior, that today would be their day of salvation. And Lord, again, we'll need your spirit to move on that heart and to show them their need for the Savior this morning. And Father, when all is said and done, we want to be sure and be careful to give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor, because Lord, we believe that you alone are worthy of those things. And we ask it all and pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to talk this morning about serving with compassion. Serving with compassion. Compassion's it's a word that gets thrown around in a lot of different causes and for a lot of different reasons in our world today. A lot of the things that have to do with compassion oftentimes our societies or efforts that are compassion towards maybe an abused animal population or an endangered species population, things with nature. And I'm not against being compassionate about those causes or those things if that's the way that that trips your trigger or floats your boat. But I'm telling you what, we need to be compassionate about people, because Christ came and his main concern was people. The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. That's why Jesus came. He came for people. He came for our souls. He came to pay for our redemption. Our the completion of the work of Calvary Christ's ministry and the reason that he came here to this earth. Compassion. compassion. Have you ever heard the phrase? It gets mentioned quite a bit. It's almost cliche in our day. They don't care how much we know until they know how much we care. And that's kind of the heartbeat of compassion, is showing care and concern for people. People that are outcast, people who are downcast, people who are without, people who have great needs, people who need the Savior. When I talk about compassion, there's a group of people in the church, in any local assembly, there's always going to be a group of people that the Holy Spirit has given them the gift of mercy. And compassion just comes as second nature to them. And you'll recognize them here this morning, because as I'm talking about compassion, they'll be nodding their heads saying, yep, that's right. That's how we do things. That's how Christians are to act. But not all of us have been given the spiritual gift of mercy, have we, saints? Matter of fact, many of us are about a quart low or so of mercy when it comes to those things, mercy showing and mercy giving. You know, we're reminded to be merciful. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Christ said that himself during his preaching on the Sermon on the Mount. But, you know, giving mercy and showing compassion aren't always things that come as first nature or even second nature to us as Christians. And so we must be challenged and motivated by the idea and the precept of compassion. You will find as you study the Gospels that compassion was a driving force in Jesus Christ's life. Compassion was a driving force in Jesus Christ's life. He looked out on people. He saw them scattered like sheep without having a shepherd, and he had compassion on them. Here in our text this morning, he's going to come across a leper, and this leper is going to be in a miserable state, and Christ is also going to have compassion on him, driven by compassion. And so I won't keep you long this morning. Have I ever kept you long? I'll think about it, okay? I'll pray about keeping you long some other day, but not today. The first thing I want you to see about compassion is this, is the compassion is connecting. Compassion is connecting. The need to connect with people. And the reason I say that is that we as Christians, after we've been saved for a while, something happens, and I can't explain it. I don't have a term for it. There are some terms that are bandied about out there in society and even in our circle of friends. We've been saved for a while, and there comes this disconnect in our mind and our heart where we have forgotten where we came from. We forgot where we were headed. We have lost sight of the fact that we were a hell-bound sinner, and we were headed for destruction. And eternal doom in a Christless hell, torment, right? And we were saved from that. Someone say hallelujah. Yeah. But somewhere along the line, this disconnect entered in, and we all of a sudden don't have that same level of compassion for the lost or the downcast or the needy like we used to have. Again, because I think we forget where we came from sometimes. And it happens, especially when you come into a church, and a lot of times the church family, it's your church family, and everybody is saved, and they've known the Savior for a long time, and they're growing in the Lord, and they're excited, and they're godly people, and they're good people, and they have good motive, and they have good intentions. But when somebody comes in here, and they don't have the Savior, the last thing they need from us is for us to look at them and say, oh, you poor sinner, you don't have the Savior. Because that's dissympathy, to feel sorry for someone with a cause. But we are to have compassion. We are to connect with them. The word compassion means this. It means to get into the skin of another one. I'd like to get into the skin of a Dodgers fan and see what makes him tick. Yeah. Yeah. And change him from the inside out, you know. But it's connecting. It's getting into the skin of another one. It's having the same emotion they have. When they suffer loss, you feel that loss too. When they feel pain, you feel that pain too. And we are so blessed because we have a Savior who can connect with us in every point of humanity's feelings and infirmities. Mike, if you could advance the slide to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, the Bible says this, "For we have not an high priest
which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Jesus Christ can connect with us as sinners because he has experienced all the temptation, all the emotions, all the rejection, all the discouragement that we have, but he did it without ever sinning. Amen. And that makes him a perfect, viable, and living Savior. And that's, we're going to get there in a little while. But I'm telling you what, he can connect with the infirmities and the weaknesses of mankind, and he can come to us with this beautiful gift and this beautiful precept of compassion. He can connect with us. He became like us, didn't he, when he came to the earth? He was still all God at the same time, but he was also man, and he took on the form of a servant, and he related to mankind. He walked around this world. He rubbed shoulders with human beings just like you and I this morning. And so Jesus Christ can connect with us, and he's going to connect with this leper. And this leper is in a very bad way. Leprosy was the disease that everybody dreaded during this time in human history. Nobody wanted to come in contact with a leper. Nobody wanted to get to contract leprosy. And you probably have seen the pictures and heard the stories of how leprosy afflicts a person and how it starts as a skin disease, and the skin begins to die, and the nerves have no feeling in that area of skin any longer. And then eventually that skin begins to die off, and it flakes off, and it falls off. Even noses have fallen off from severe cases of leprosy. And God put a very strict standard into place about leprosy and how lepers were to behave. All the way back in the Old Testament, in the days of Moses, God put some strict guidelines into place about lepers. And they had to stay from without the camp. They had to stay outside the camp of people. They couldn't be a part of the congregation or the social circle any longer. They were outcast from the camp. They had to maintain a perimeter of at least 6 feet at all times from all human contact. And if you read the Jewish antiquities, it said this: on a windy day, the perimeter was extended to 100 feet. And so you think about this, the Middle East climate is much like our climate is here, and how many windy days do we have here in Prescott, Arizona? And so most days, these human beings who have leprosy were asked or commanded to not come within 100 feet of another living person. And if they saw someone come on their way, they had to cover themselves and cry out, "Unclean! Unclean!" But this leper, did you read the story? He didn't maintain a 6-foot circle around Jesus. He came to Jesus and he fell on his knees, beseeching him, and said, "Lord, if thou wilt, you can make me clean." Amen? Because there was a connection here. This leper understood something about the Son of God that many of us miss in our day and age, that Jesus Christ is motivated and he is moved with compassion. And he connects with this leper. And he reaches down and he touches this leper. And this leper immediately, instantly becomes clean, cleansed, healed from his leprosy. I've got a very vivid imagination. And I can't help but think, when he got up, instead of saying, "Unclean, unclean," I'm clean, I'm clean. Amen. I've been touched by the Master. Amen. I've been touched by the compassion of the suffering servant of God. I've been touched by the compassion of the suffering Son of God. And no longer do I go through this world shouting unclean and keeping my distance, but now I am clean and I am full of joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen. Because of what Christ has done in my life. You understand, I think many of you do, that when you read about leprosy in the Bible, it's also symbolic of something. that every human being has in the depth of their soul, and that is this: it's sin. Leprosy is always a picture of the sin problem. And who has sin? Everyone does. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Isn't that right? Everybody has that. And so, from a spiritual standpoint, all of us have leprosy. All of us are unclean. And I'm not going to be concerned about right now about whether you can go in contact with another human being. But I'm saying this: because of our uncleanness, because of our sin nature, we are at enmity with God. And we can't approach God in our unclean condition. He's of pure eyes to even behold iniquity. He can't even look upon our sin. And so we are lepers. We are cast off. We are downcast. We are set outside of the camp because of the condition of the sin of our soul. And God said there's going to be a penalty for sin. He said, for the wages of sin is death. Didn't he? But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Is that right or not?
Yes.
He says there's a penalty for sin, and that penalty is this: it's going to kill you. And it's a very sad death. It's called the second death in the Word of God. And the second death means this: is that after you leave this life, and everybody will, somebody say amen.
Amen.
It's appointed a man once to die. After you leave this life, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, if you have not been yet forgiven of your sin, for your sin, you're going to spend eternity in a Christless hell, a place where the fire is not quenched, a place where the worm dieth not, a place of outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's a place of eternal torment, excuse me, and that's where all lepers go. But God commanded his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Oh. Can we just fast forward to Romans 10:13? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
God says, I have a provision for all lepers of the world. For all you who have sinned and come short of the glory of God, I have made provision for your healing, and that provision for your healing is done through my Son, Jesus Christ, and His work alone. I showed my love, I commended my love to mankind, to the universe, to the world, by giving my only begotten Son, and He died on the cross of Calvary, so that you and I could be healed from our leprous condition. Glory. And all you got to do is believe that and put your faith in Him and put your trust in Him and repent of your sins and turn to the great God of heaven. And God says, yes, if you'll come to me, you can be clean. And you can walk out of this room this morning saying, I'm clean, I'm clean. Or maybe in today's term, I'm saved, I'm saved. And when you're saved, then hell is no longer a prospect in that believer's life.
Amen.
Because heaven is promised you eternity in the beautiful, splendid abode of God. How bad does that sound? Huh? How bad does that sound? Heaven? Gates of pearl? Street of gold? Sea of glass? Sounds like heaven, amen. And Jesus came with compassion to connect to those who are the cast-offs and the downcast and the ostracized and the excluded and the rejected and the dejected, and said, come to me. Come to me. Come to me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, for I am meek and lowly of heart. That's what Christ said. I want to connect with you. And if we're going to be men and women of compassion in the 21st century, we need to learn to connect with people who are in the same boat that you and I were in before we found Christ, before Christ found us. Somebody say amen. Yeah. Oh, this is good stuff. It's compassion.
It's compassion. I want to read this to you again. And Jesus moved with compassion and put forth his hand and touched him and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. I want you to see also that compassion is contagious. Compassion is contagious. As you read the story here, and this leper is cleansed, of course he's excited and overjoyed at the prospect of being clean again. And Jesus gave him specific instructions on how to handle this cleansing and his newfound life. And saith unto him, verse 44, see thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way. Show thyself to the priest and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. But he went out and began to publish it much and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter.
I wonder if you ever thought about this. What makes a church grow in the 21st century? Is it drama? Is it skits? Is it music? Is it lighting? Is it stage smoke? Is it plexiglass pulpits and three-legged stools? Is it Hawaiian shirts and flip-flops? What makes a church grow in the 21st century? The same thing that made the church grow in the first century: a people that have compassion. A people said this, wow, Jesus Christ saved me, and now I have that same privilege and responsibility cast upon me to go tell others what Jesus did for me. It's called soul winning. It's called sharing your faith. It's taking a stack of gospel tracts from the rack in the back and just handing them out in your week. Because all of us, every day of our lives, come across other people who need compassion. Yep. And it ought to be contagious. We all should be walking out of here this morning very lightly, lively stepping, saying, I'm saved! Right. Glory to God, I'm saved! Glory to God, I'm healed. Glory to God, I'm going to spend eternity, I'm going to spend forever with my blessed Savior in heaven. Amen?
Amen.
And you know this is true. Most of the people that we come in contact with don't have that same blessed assurance that you and I do.
That's right.
So we go out there, we tell them the story. You know, one of the easiest things to do is just to tell them what Jesus did for you. Right. You know what? They don't got to believe it. They don't got to buy into it. But you've got to do your part and witness about the glory of God in your life. And He is a glorious God. Amen.
Amen.
And He's given us life, and He's given us a new lease on life, and He's given us a new hope, and a new song, and a new step, and a new home. All these new things, a new life. Contagious. Amen. Not cantankerous. You independent fundamental Baptists. Amen.
Amen.
Contagious. Compassion should be contagious. We should want to take it and show it to other people. Jude in verse 22, I believe it says this, and of some have compassion, making a difference. Jude, they're talking about those who are without Christ, those who are without a new life in Him. And he said, some of those folks that you come across in this life are going to need compassion. The same compassion that you experienced, they need that compassion in their lives too. Amen. Why is this falling on deaf ears this morning? Compassion is contagious. Amen. Jesus said, don't tell anybody. You know what He said? I can't but help tell everybody. And when He did it, He was thronged with people. Now, understand this. In that throng, not everybody there was looking for compassion. Some were looking for a miracle. Some were looking for a handout. Come on. Some were looking just, you know, something to soothe their soul and their conscience. But there were many in that throng who were there saying, wow, if you can show a leper compassion, you can show anybody compassion. Because the lepers were the worst of the worst during this time in human history.
contagious. They were around him. They thronged him. They wanted to get something from him. And as Jesus was so busy and he couldn't even minister effectively because of all the people who were around him, that would also cast some of the duty and responsibility onto his disciples who were following him. He said, you guys go show compassion too. You go show compassion like I showed compassion. Because, again, Christianity is becoming more and more like Christ after our salvation. Isn't it, saints? Compassion is contagious. And lastly, compassion is concrete. When I say concrete, I mean this. Is compassion isn't just words. It's not just tricky words and key phrases. It's not just saying the right thing. It's doing the right thing. It's not just saying that I have compassion. It's having compassion. And I want you to see it in the concrete. I want you to see it in real life application. Here's what John said. 1 John chapter 3, verses 17 to 18. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of what, saints? Compassion from him. How dwelleth the love of God in him? Excuse me. My little children, let us not love in what? Neither in tongue, but in what? And? In truth. And so compassion is not just words. It's not just saying, oh, you poor fellow. Oh, you poor woman. Oh, you poor child. I feel so badly for you. I wish there was something I could do for you. Because those are just words. And a lot of times our empty words just fall on deaf ears. And nothing for the cause of Christ is accomplished in our idle speaking. Does that make sense? Nothing for the cause of Christ is accomplished from our idle talk. What did J. Vernon McGee call it? Shoe leather Christianity. It's where the rubber meets the road. Instead of saying, oh, I feel so bad for you and I wish there was something I could do for you, it's like this: I do feel so bad for you and there is something I can do for you. You know, a lot of times compassion is just spending time with somebody else. They're lonely, they've lost a loved one, or they're suffering illness, and they're just going through a tough and dark and desolate time, and they need somebody to come by and just sit with them for a little while. I've learned that. You know, sometimes a five-minute visit makes a lady or a man's day. No, it makes their week. And they say, wow, pastor came by, or Brother Jeff came by and spent some time with me and put their arm around me and prayed with me and encouraged me. That's compassion. It's concrete. It's not just words. It's doing something about how we're feeling with that person. We're getting into their skin, aren't we, saints?
Yep.
Yeah. One of the things that we do, it's our compassion substitute. I'm going to preach this for another minute here. I'm going to be done. Our compassion substitute is this. I'll use Dave as an example. Dave, you poor thing. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for you. And that's all we ever do. Is prayer. And I'm not dismissing prayer. I stand here before you this morning, I tell you, as a product of prayer. I do. And I appreciate prayer. There's a man here this morning, he talked to me this week, and you know, he's a man who believes he was healed by God by the power of prayer. You know, and I'm not going to dismiss prayer, but I'm saying this: prayer isn't all that compassion can be. A lot of times we use prayer to relieve ourselves from many more responsibilities. This poor soul, you know, I'll pray for you. I don't know what's wrong with you right now. What's wrong with you right now? It's a long list, isn't it? So, yeah. Amen. You got a prayer list and you got a Dave list right next to it, right? I'll pray for you. But that's not always compassionate. Compassion is, I know there's something that I can do to encourage you or to help you, to assist you, and so I'm going to do that also. Sometimes it's like giving. Right? Sometimes it's like being involved. Mm-hmm. Like compassion. When I went to Bible college, even though I was an older man, I couldn't wait to get involved in the bus ministry again. The bus ministry was for the younger guys. Because bus ministry, you on Saturdays, you show up at church at 8, you get home done visiting by about 2. 8 o'clock, you do breakfast, you have prayer time, you get encouraged, you go out, you do all your visits, and you try to find new riders, and you're doing all this stuff. You get home about 2 o'clock on Saturday. On Sunday, you're there before anybody else is even awake. You do on Sunday. You know, getting the bus warmed up and getting ready to go. You go out and you run the route, okay? You get all the kids, and they're fun, and they're crazy, right? And they're wound up. And you bring them to church, and you make sure they get to their classes. You have all the responsibility. It was a big church, you know, 3,000 people on some Sunday mornings. You need to make sure that all the kids are getting to the right Sunday school classes. And then when the pastor gives the invitation, you're the first ones out down the aisle to go out the door, so round up your bus kids again to make sure they get on the right bus. Because you don't want to take the wrong kid on the wrong bus. Yeah. Because that's a lawsuit waiting to happen. Amen.
That's right.
And then you take the kids home, and you're home by 2 or 2:30 on Sunday. And, you know, I'm not complaining. I love the bus ministry. I loved the bus ministry. I still love our bus ministry today. I do. Because the bus ministry is a compassion ministry. It's a ministry that's driven by compassion. It's not driven by numbers or by money. Matter of fact, the bus ministry will cost the church money. Always. 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 But there's a blessing in the bus ministry. When you go and... I'm going to give an example. My wife, always been a soul winner all her life long. When I was in Bible college, I said, you should come ride a bus with me. She's not in here, but I'm going to tell her. She said, no. She said, I don't want to deal with bus ministry. And she had her reasons, and she had valid reasons, and she said no. It's okay. I'll let her go. And she was teaching Sunday school. She was doing something. She was always knocking doors. Always doing something. Always, 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 always. Another month later, I say, hey, you should come ride the bus. You got to meet these kids. No. That whole idea of submission, I don't. Anyway, I said, you should do it. And she said, no. It's okay. I don't remember all the details, everything that happened. So, one Saturday, I said, okay, it's Saturday. I've got visits to do. Would you meet me after lunch? I want you to meet this girl that comes on our bus every week. Okay. Her name was Gabby. She was 11 years old when we found her. And she lived with her dad. And I know there's Gabby. Gabby's father, I'm trying to be careful, used his daughter, who was 11, like a wife. Okay? Are you following me?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So, I said, come meet Gabby. Come see how Gabby lives. So we knocked on Gabby's door. And her dad was always very accommodating and said, yeah, she's coming. And we talked to Gabby. And my wife connected with Gabby like in an instant. I mean in an instant. And she recognized very quickly what was going on in Gabby's home behind closed door. You know, in the dark places, the Bible says, are the habitations of cruelty. And that's exactly what's happening here in Gabby's life. You know, she never missed a Sunday. She always sat in the front seat, never was a problem, ever. And Kathy and Gabby just connected like that. You know, she became kind of an advocate for Gabby, trying to help her get some support from outside and things of this nature because, you know, her heart was knit with her. And you know what? From then on, my wife never missed the bus ministry again. She was on the bus every Sunday with me. And you know here, she's been running the van for, seems like forever. You'll never get that steering wheel out of her hands. You have to pry it from her cold, dead fingers, man. I'm telling you what. Because compassion can be contagious.
Yeah.
And compassion is about connecting, but compassion has to be in the concrete.
Yep.
It has to be real. I found this poem. I think it helps sum up what I was trying to say with this last point. We'll see. I was hungry, and you formed a humanities club, and you discussed my hunger. Thank you. I was imprisoned, and you crept off quietly to your chapel in the cellar to pray for my release. I was naked, And in your mind, you debated about the morality of my appearance. I was sick, and you knelt and thanked God for your health. I was homeless, and you preached to me of the spiritual shelter of the love of God. I was lonely, and you left me alone to pray for me. You seem so holy, so close to God, but I'm still very hungry and lonely and cold. And all God's people said, amen. Compassion. It's about connecting. It's contagious.